With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Yay You. Yep, Yay You, because you are you unapologetically. Absolutely. Welcome back. I just want to thank all of my listeners for doing what you do. You know what you do. You check in with us, you listen, and we love your support. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Your support is priceless, and I am so grateful, so grateful. And believe me, I don't take it lightly, because our time, right? We're always running out of time or too busy. And so the time that you take out to be with us is really, really important to us. And like I said, it's priceless. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are discussing a new topic. You guys know my guest is the third person that I brought on that will dive into this topic with us. You guys remember, instead of doing a variety of topics with a variety of guests, we actually do something different. We actually have one topic, right? Or a topic for a series, that is. And our series is either 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how you guys respond to the topic that we're talking about for the episodes or the series, that is. So instead of a variety of topics, we invite a diversity of guests to come in and they all talk about the same topic, which is really, really good. And we do this because we want to get different perspectives on the topic, because we have a diverse audience of listeners. And so with that being said, let's dive in. Let's dive in. Okay. So when it comes to strangers, people that you don't know, people that you walk past, right? Or you see when you're out and about, these are first time acquaintances. People may have stopped you, asked a question or asked for direction or something like that. These are people that we do not know. What do you say to them? And when it comes to our family members, more intimate relationships that are in our lives, like our loved ones, those people that you consider like your best friend, they're in your inner circle, you know what I'm saying? What do you say to them? Do you watch your words? Here's why. Words are very, very, very powerful. And our discussion is about how powerful words are and how do you use your words? That's what we're talking about. Words are so powerful. We know that the more intimate the relationship, the heavier words can become and the greater their capacity to wound, to hurt, to leave a mark, to scar, right? Get this, even words left unsaid words have the capacity, right, to hurt. Unsaid phrases have the potential to impact the trajectory of a person's life. See, I've witnessed this on numerous occasions where a youth, a young adult, a college student, a parent, right? A single adult, right? Parents with children, they have been in tears because of a phrase they never heard their father say, a phrase or a statement they never heard their mother say, words that they would have given anything to hear, such as, I love you. I'm proud of you. Oh gosh, what a great job. I appreciate you. Or words such as, thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In fact, unspoken words have just as much impact as spoken words on our lives. So here's my point. Words are powerful and words carry weight, which leads to me asking this question. How heavy are your words? How heavy are your words? I'm not done yet, but here's some support in my study in this topic, right? I say support. So you guys know I'm a Jesus follower. So of course, I'm going to use the words from the Bible that's going to support my statement. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. This thing right here, right? James 1:19 says, remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and should not get angry easily. James also go on to say a little bit more about the tongue. He says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In James 3:7-8 says, humankind can tame beasts, they can contain birds, reptiles, and the creation in the sea. Yet, we cannot tame our own tongue. Listen to me, you guys. The scripture says no man or woman can tame the tongue. And James goes on to describe the human tongue as, like I said before, an unruly evil that is full of deadly poison. But we use our tongue to create words. Since the beginning of creation, our lives have been shaped by words spoken to us, over us, at us, about us, words that are spoken and unspoken, right? They shaped our childhood. They shaped our relationships. They built, they undermined, destroyed, and rebuilt marriages, relationships, right? Words spoken to us, at us, over us, has impact our confidence, so much so that they determine, to some extent, who we are actually, we see in the mirror. Words do this to us. How heavy were the words spoken to you? How heavy are the words you speak? Have you ever been crushed on someone's words? If so, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I believe that none of us are exempt or have been exempt. I believe we all have been injured or crushed in some way, some form or fashion, by the words of the people. Again, words carry weight. Words spoken and unspoken. I said they leave marks, right? They leave scars, but they can leave a mark for good, but they also leave marks for bad, all right? And again, like I said, words build and destroy. Discourage, they inspire. Sometimes words wound our lives, mine included. So we all know the extent of words and how they have impacted our lives in some form or fashion. And so even, like I said, words that we didn't hear, right? Words that we want to hear. So here's the thing. We're all quick. We're all quick to recognize not only the power of words, but the power of words that other people say to us and that they have over us. Here's the caveat. We're very slow to recognize or very slow to admit the fact that our words, the words we speak to others, right, spoken and unspoken, have equal power in lives of other people as well. So isn't it easy to admit when we've been impacted by others? Like, we can say that, we can tell you when it happened, what they said, and how hurtful it was, but we don't want to remember, right, and the exact words that we say or we said, right, to other people, especially hurtful words, which cause harm. And when we do, we make excuses. We make excuses for what we said. Things such as, you know, that's just who I am. Really? Or, I'm just being honest. Or here's another one. Oh, no, they're just words. They don't mean anything. They're just words. And you and I know that can be nothing but the truth. Words have weight and they mean something, right? Consequently, we don't want to be honest to the fact that we use our words irresponsibly. Yep, we do. And we'll say, like I said, it's not on purpose, but we're irresponsible with our words. because we just don't understand or realize or want to realize or recognize or embrace the fact that words carry weight. They carry weight. Here's another thing. Words are not equally weighted either. They carry weight, but they're not equally weighted. Negative words weigh way more than positive words. Yep, they do. Our negative words that we speak to others, they weigh way more than positive words. And study has proven that in a sense, like they took a study of relationships in marketplace. And what they found was that one negative word, if you say one negative word, you need to replace it with 5 to 9 positive words to counterbalance that negative word. But see, I believe like in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, a relationship with your kids, a relationship, you know, with your loved ones, with your parents, with your siblings, right? It's not 5 to 9 words. Mm-mm. It's probably 25 to 30 positive words that you would have to use or say to counterbalance one negative word. Why? Because words have weight, right? And negative words weigh way more than positive words. And so the words that we use, the words that we feel that we need to say to people, strangers, as well as people that we know, we look at these words. Now, we don't even look at them. The words that we're saying, the negative words, will definitely make an impact on our loved ones. So let me say this as well. Another point that is, the source determines the weight. The source determines the weight of the word that we say. So when you're in a conversation, even more so with the people that we love and those who love us, we must remember who we are and who we represent in the conversation, because the person on the other side, you know, they're listening, and whatever it is that we're saying to them, they're going to feel it. So that means that you have to think about who am I, right? And what do I represent to that person on the other side of me, that person that I'm talking to? What people hear and what they feel, regardless of what we think we're saying, can and will do major damage, especially in the lives of others. And when we get it wrong, because we're going to get it wrong, we have to understand that our intent is irrelevant. Your words, my words, our words carry weight, and they are not equally weighted. They carry more weight than you and I even think, especially in relationships, specific relationships with our parents, with our family members, you know, with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with your boss, your best friends, those people who are close to us, people we say we love and who say they love us. The fact is, we know words have the potential to destroy as well as build up and undermine as well as inspire, and yet we choose to use them. All of us should take into consideration, because we all have been hurt in some way or another by words of other people. We all must recognize that we must be good stewards and careful with our words, because we're human and we have feelings. And depending on who we are, who we're talking to, some people, their feelings are easily hurt, right? And so we have to be mindful of that. What is the weight of our words doing to other people? What is the weight of your words doing to other people, especially those people who we claim we love? Are they leaving marks? Are they creating unforgettable wounds that will take years to heal? Are they building or destroying? What are the results of your words? What are they producing? With all of that being said, now, please allow me to introduce you to our phenomenal guest. I can't wait for you to meet our guest. You guys know, every episode, I am so excited about our guests, because I really believe they are amazing, phenomenal, awesome, like all of the above. Yes, check the box. That's who I believe they are. So with that, I'm saying our guest tonight is phenomenal. Our phenomenal guest is the executive producer of Nourish Creative, a story design studio and edit house dedicated to creating soulful human stories. He is the former creative director of Jubilee, where he led the creative team to garner 1 billion, did I say 1 billion? 1 billion plus views and amass more than 5 million plus subscribers in under 3 years, right? Designing some of YouTube's most viral and world trending shows such as Middle Ground, Spectrum, Odd One Out, and more. He is also the former chief creative of Mindset at Dive Studios, writing, producing, and directing for world-class celebrities such as Summer Walker, Eric Nam, Black, Julia Michaels, Teche, Huddy, Amin Nye, Slow Ty, DPR, among many, many more. He has written, directed, and edited work for Fortune 500 companies such as Apple, Nike, NASA, Zeiss, and more. I think I said that right, because you guys know I'll be chopping up some names and words. And his piece, Eye to the World Stories, won gold at the final national round of American Advertising Award. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Being an INFJ, introverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging, avid reader, and resilient idealist. He is passionate about filmmaking that combines profound philosophical depth and radical entertainment. See, I told you guys he's phenomenal. I told you, like, that's him. Wait, I haven't even told you his name yet. Wait. Please help me to welcome Ian Chai. Did I say it right? Oh, Chai. I asked him before.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Hope I said it right. Welcome to Yay You. Thank you so much for being here. Did I get it right or did I just chop it all up?
Oh, you chopped it up and got it all right at the same time. That was amazing. Yes. Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
I appreciate the grace, Ian. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited you said yes. But like I said, I'm always excited for all of our guests that come on. So here, before we jump in, there are two things that I like to ask. One, please share with our audience or our listeners how we met. Wait, you guys, this is amazing. Please share.
Well, long story short, you know, I've been interacting with young people that past couple years. It started online when the pandemic started. And, you know, my brother and I, we were reaching out to colleges and all sorts of young folks. And I decided that, you know, I really like this, just pouring into younger folks. And my brother just happened upon your LinkedIn profile. And on that profile, it said that you work with young folk. And I think that's what piqued his curiosity. And so my brother sent a cold email to you with a little bit of information about me. And then I think the email almost slipped through the cracks. You know, your associate almost deleted it. But then you were like, hold on, there's something special about this email. You know, you went to the bio page of my site and you saw some keywords like storytelling and profound and divinity and things like this. And so, and then we got on a call and then just had a conversation about all sorts of things. And we were talking about spirituality and energy and words, like you said, and just like connecting on good vibes. And I was like, dang, I have not met someone with so much energy and such, like, this is amazing. Like just the oozing authenticity and the high vibes. And so I was like, I like this human. I like this person, you know? That's how we met.
That is literally how we met. Thank you, Ian, for saying, because yeah, I was going through, and I get a lot of emails. So I was going through my email and I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, you missed this one. We need to reach out to this person. And so Eve was able to connect and we had a conversation, just like you said, and it was off the chain. So I said, please, you have to be on my podcast. Please. And you said yes. And so I'm so grateful for that.
I'm so grateful as well. Yeah. You got me pumped up. Like, and I mean, not only first call, every time, I mean, this is only the second time I've ever, you know, interacted with you, but it's just like I get a shot of adrenaline just, you know, in the first 5 seconds of hearing your voice. It's like, ooh, all right, let's go.
Yes, let's do it. So, you know, I get that. I do. I get that a lot. It's my gift and I love to share it. So it's all good. So Because the name of our podcast is You Are You Unapologetically. Sorry, I'm having a hot flash underneath all these lights. Because of our podcast is called You Are You Unapologetically, please share with us, what does it mean to you to be you unapologetically?
The first thing that came to my mind as you asked that question is you're not second guessing yourself and you're not focused on yourself. It's not, your thoughts aren't coming back towards your own mind. It's focused outward. You are unhesitatingly just doing what you feel without hesitating. And you're not worrying about the consequences of what other people might think or what might happen, where things might go. It's just not trying to strategize or be tactical, but you're just literally expressing yourself in a moment-to-moment basis and seeing where it goes with freedom.
Yes, yes, yes. And all that you just said was you're just being you, right? It's just being, right? And that's what I tell people. No one is better at being you than you. Like, you got it down. But sometimes people don't realize that they got it. Like, who can do you better than you? Like, who? I tell them, please find somebody that can do you better than you. And when you do, bring them to me. Please, please bring them to me. And no one has brought anyone to me as of yet. So I'm still standing my ground on that and saying, no one can do you better than you, right? So thank you so much for that. So the weight of words, that is what we're talking about. We all have been impacted by words. And so I would like you to share with me what words were said to you that helped shape you into who you are now.
There are so many words that helped shape me, but the first thing that comes to mind is when I was a little kid, all the time my dad would tell me, Ian, you're going to grow up to do incredible, great things. And he would always be extremely affirming of whatever it is I wanted to do. And I'm very similar to my dad, and he knows that I'm similar to him. We're both very artistic. We're deep. We love introspective conversations. We're very spiritual. So when he started to see me going down this path of art and trying to make meaningful things and trying to speak to people at a deeper level, I think he saw that as an opportunity to, he even told me, like, Ian, you're me 2.0. Like, you're going to do even greater things than me. He's a preacher. So he'd tell me, like, I preach in front of, you know, maybe 100 people, but your films, they're going to speak to millions of people. You know, so many people are going to see them. And I heard that since I was young. And at the time, I don't think I really appreciated it as much as I do now, because it really gave me wind in my sails to, I just had a sense that I was like destined for great things. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'd go around and be like, I'm a genius. And just like a pure, just really a childlike, pure, awe-striking, you know, way of like, wow, I'm in this universe and I can do anything I want. Yeah. So I think that had a huge impact on me. And then throughout the years, just people who had the integrity and the courage to heart share anything that affirmed my true self was, you know, just continual good fuel along the way, which is, I think it's, yeah, teachers, friends, mentors, all these people. And then also people I don't know that I, you know, people whose interviews I see online or movies or dialogues from a scene, you know, things like this that I'd pick up.
So can you share, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I want you to go into sharing some of the actual words, some of the things that was said to you that impact you and on how you feel about you right now, right? Like, please, like, we know of the teacher, your dad, and what you said about your dad, but what are some of the actual things that was said to you?
I mean, I think everyone is unique for sure, but somehow there's some areas of my life where I feel like I'm a real black sheep. I don't do things the normal way. So words that I've affirmed that, where it's like what usually might seem like a not good thing to people, but someone says, like, you know, like, I freaking love how introspective and creative you are. Because the bad side of that is like, yo, you're so in your head all the time, or you're like, you're stuck in your imagination. But when someone is on the flip side of that and they see like, you have such a vivid imagination, you have such a rich inner world, you have so much creativity in you, and they see that potential of how that can be expressed and shared with the world, I think that has really lifted me up. Yeah.
Awesome. 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 So just like we're talking about words have weight. So share with us words that impact you or a situation or an incident that occurred that caused you to shut down and so that you, you know, and not be yourself?
I remember there was one instance where I was leading a team and there was a little presentation I was giving of my vision for what we had to do to get to making some amazing work and, you know, making an impact. And in the middle of the presentation, somebody interrupted me and pretty much said how useless this was. And it was like, I didn't get to quite finish my thought. And it was in front of other people too. And so I felt, you know, not expect, especially because I wasn't expecting that. I think I was caught off guard and I was like, oh, I didn't really know what to do. I felt very embarrassed. I felt like I kind of, what is it like? Saving face, like the opposite of that. I felt like, oh, okay, like people have kind of, this guy pointed out something that it just felt like he poked at the soft white underbelly and then everyone saw it too. And it was like, right. Oh, I don't
exposed.
Really.
Exposed. If you felt like you were exposed. Like,
I felt like I was exposed. I felt like I lost the respect of a lot of the folks who were in that same meeting. And after that, it just marked a point for me where I was like, I just don't know. It made me not feel safe to be able to like open up and share my vision, you know? Yeah, I would say that was one instance.
I get it. And so just like in the intro, I was saying we all have been crushed. We can recall. So let me ask you this. What are some of the words that you have said that inflict pain, right? That inflict hurt? I know I have some. So share with us a time or incident that you actually used your words to do that.
So there was an emotional intelligence kind of a workshop that I did some years ago, maybe like 2015, 2016. And one of the exercises they taught us was direct feedback to someone of what is not working about how they show up. And I got a real high from that experience because I thought I got some real gold and good feedback from other people. And I wanted to take this out into the real world. Except the problem in the real world is that people haven't done this workshop. They don't have the same context, right? So I started showing up and with some friends, I started being absolutely uncensored about my words and giving them feedback without giving them the context first of why I was doing that and what was coming. And good feedback, I think, has to be introduced with the clarity that I'm going to say this because I love you. And I also want to have your permission to say this. You know, I'm not just going to just drop it on you out of nowhere, right? So I wasn't quite mature enough at the time to do that. And there was some collateral damage. And I remember one more thing about good feedback is that good feedback should only be helpful. Like it shouldn't be things like, I don't like the color of your hat, you know, or something like that. Like that's not, if a person wants to wear this hat, like what is that to me? Like, why should I care about that? You know what I mean? Why am I burdening them with my own personal preference of style? Like that's them. I don't, you know, that's not my territory. But I crossed that line a few times where I told people my unfiltered opinion about how they look and my opinion about how they show up, but it wasn't really taking into consideration their own just preference of style.
Right. Just being, like you said, unfiltered, uncensored, like just going out. Now, let me ask you, in that, did you make an excuse? Did you, knowing what you said was you weren't sensitive at all, but knowing that, what did you do? Did you make an excuse or did you just drop it and you kept it moving?
At the time, to some people, I explained the context of like, yo, I just learned about this feedback thing. So let's do this, like kind of forcing them into this feedback exercise. And then other times, just like just throwing it out on the table and just seeing where it goes. The most damaging ones were probably like when I forced the feedback on people when it was just kind of random and, you know, people didn't know that they had a whole train coming at them. And then I would say these unfiltered things that kind of uncalled for, you know?
Yeah, can you share with us what that unfiltered thing is or a couple of them? Because I want our audience to hear what is being said and what we are saying so that they can connect and be like, ooh, I said that too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I have one clear example. I was meeting up with a female friend and I regret it to this day, but it's a lesson I learned. I just straight up told her, I don't think you're attractive. I don't think you're attractive. And that's like, attraction is a subjective thing. Someone can't really change the way they look. That's not up to them. And it kind of an extremely selfish thing to say. It's just not respectful.
Right. You said you, let me just be point blank. You called her ugly in a sophisticated way.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you get sophisticated. And so it landed on her as if you said the same thing. You see what I'm saying? You just sophisticated it in so many words. And so, no, thank you so much for sharing that. Because what I'm saying is that there are things, there are times when I've said things in the introductory episode of The Weight of Your Words. I talked about my goddaughter and how I went like in on her so bad that my husband had to hold me back. Like, and I was at the point where I was like, what? Like, you feel foggy sleep, right? Like, so this was my goddaughter, right? And so for her, she was devastated. But at that point in time, did I care? No. And it was only after I start doing work on me, right? I start investing on me is when it raises head. But I knew the situation was there. I try to brush it, you know, sweep it up underneath the rug and avoid it and not pay it. But it kept showing its face. The more I did work on me, the more it showed itself. And I literally had to address it and face it. And it was 5 years. Went by, might have been a little bit more, but 5 years, we had no relationship whatsoever. And initially, I was like, I really don't care. But once I start working on me and start seeing, you know, me and how I showed up then, and start checking in with who are you and who are you representing? So I literally had to go back and have that conversation. And this is what I did. Of course, I asked her to forgive me and I gave her the space. Like, for me, it wasn't like, okay, forgive me now, everything is over, right? Forgive me, because it's not over. You have to give people the space and grace to heal as well. And then when she was ready, she invited me in. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm ready to talk to you. It was just us having a conversation. And I would say she called me more in the last year than she called me, of course, in the last 5 years. And so I'm just grateful for that. And so there are things that we say, and this is the discussion that I want to have, is what we say to people, right? And how do we lead them? Like, how do we leave people after we meet them? Total strangers. Do we leave them wishing they never met us, right? And so I just wanted to share that. There are some unspoken words that we also have that impact our lives, right? That we never heard, right, before, or that we wish our parents would have said. And so I'm from a single parent home, and my mom would always say, I'm proud of you. But I also realized that for me, I'm the fifth child of eight children. I'm loud, right? So my mom would always say, you're so loud. You're just so loud, right? Or things that for me, my mom never like really like pushed us to do things. For example, in our growing up in our house, we had to believe in God, but we did not worship, right? And my mother didn't force that on us, right? Or push us to, you know, so there are some things that she didn't say that I wish she would have said, and it to for us to learn more about God. But also like in our studies, like I really didn't start doing good in school until I became a college student when I realized that it costs. It's not free, right? So to push me in that way, that was like some unspoken words that I wish my mother would have had said to me. What about you? Are there any unspoken words that you wish you would have heard?
I was just thinking that on the flip side of the feedback, the way I did it when I was kind of ruthless about just shooting people in the face with feedback, I do wish I got more feedback from people in the kind way. A lot of times, like in situations, you know, I'd be like confused or I don't have experience with a situation or something like that. And I wish there were more ways where people could have honest conversations about, hey, this is how you showed up. I know you meant this, but this would have probably been a better way. Or I think you could work on this. There's a tendency, I think, just to like, you know, there's actually a quote that I really like. It's good friends stab you in the front.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I have not heard that one, but I love that. Yeah.
It's a great quote. And I think we could learn more effective ways of stabbing each other in front in a kind way. Because there's things we can't see about ourselves, you know, like we are who we are and our version of reality is It's a lot of it is what has been given us when we're younger, and it's not until we hear that kind feedback from someone who is wise or cares about you or just has a different perspective that it opens you up to new possibilities. And in my case, just to get a little more nitty-gritty and specific, I've always been very creative and very imaginative and very introspective. So that gives me a lot of strength when it comes to my creative work and filming and editing and doing all these ideation. Whenever I'm in a room full of people and we're all coming up with ideas, I come up with the most ideas, always. That's just how it's been. But the flip side of that is that when I'm having conversations with people and they say one thing, my head will go all over the place and think of this and that. And a lot of times I didn't realize this before, but people didn't feel heard or seen by me because I'm in my own imagination. They're sparking these ideas and I'm kind of looking over here or like doing this thing and they're trying to talk to me. They're trying to see that I see them and I'm not giving them that recognition. So I feel like I ran into a little bit of, tension here and there because of that. It's not that I didn't like people, it's just that my natural way of being is very internal. I'm an ideas guy. I'm not naturally a people guy. I'm more about ideas.
Right. You did say introvert.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's an example where there were some misunderstandings when I was younger, but I've gotten much better at, being present. And also I asked some of my real good friends, they've stabbed me in the front and say, like, hey, in this kind of situation, don't walk ahead faster than I do. Like, let's walk at my speed. You're over there in your own head doing your own thing. It's like you can look at where I'm at and go my speed, bro. Things like that. And I really appreciate the friend who said that. I've constantly gone to him now and I've said that, yo, man, like, thank you so much for pointing this out. Like, it helped in this area, and he's kind of my go-to guy because he naturally cares a lot about people. He knows how to do this thing, so he's become a sounding board, and so. It's a way to get close to people too when you stab each other in the front. You learn to find sounding boards. This guy's so much better than me at this, so I'm gonna go to him and talk to this about these things in my life. And
Absolutely. And I love the stab your friends in the front. Let me ask you this real quick. Are there any unspoken words that you need to say?
oh, to other people. Wow, that's a really good question. I think I do have, I'm thinking about especially creative work. When there's like feedback given for like an edit or notes on a script or something like that, I think I can narrow in right away on what needs to be fixed. But I think I can have some context of, hey, listen, like take this or leave it. Like at the end of the day, you should make the decision. But here's what I think. Sometimes I can kind of jump that hurdle and just go to what I think. The piece not even be mine. It's not, it might not even be mine. You know what I mean? It's not my piece. Or just making sure that this person knows I care about them and like, hey, let's look at this piece together. And I'm going to be honest about my thoughts, but they're just thoughts. Like they're not things that you have to take as rules or something like that. So I think just slowing down and providing that context is something I could do better. Providing that before we go into this, let's set the lighting. So, yeah, so we understand why we're talking about this in the first place. I can set that context before bringing out the feedback.
Awesome. And before we move, I definitely would love for you to share how people can get in contact with you. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, how do you manage your tongue and your words?
Oh, I read Gandhi's autobiography recently, and what really struck me is that he said he's very careful with his words. He considers it very carefully before what he says, because if you talk all the time too much, it doesn't have as much weight. That stuck with me, and I think I've been working on that a little bit. It's the opposite of my older feedback days. It's like, see everything that comes up. Okay, filter what's helpful. And then let's present what has value for people, not just what's valuable to me, but what's valuable to this person, and what makes sense. So.
No, thank you so much. And one of the things that I do, I just want to share, especially when you have a hard conversation that you know that is hard and you don't have a lot of background on that person, but you have to have this hard conversation. And even with those that you do know, right, you have the background of that person. I always say it's always better to go in with true accolades, right? Don't fluff it up or anything like that. Think of that person and think of what is it that you like, appreciate, admire. Some might be love about that person. And then you tell that person, see, what I really like about you, I like when I'm talking, you'll pause and you'll stop and you'll be present with me. What I appreciate is that you're always caring. You're always caring. And what I admire about you is that you're determined. When you set your mind up to do something, you really get it done. But with all that, here's how you can support me. I need some support. And here is how you can support me. When you say, or when you do, can you think of me in this way? And so just that way is how I teach and I share, and I do it myself when I want to get into that hard conversation, but I don't want that person to feel like, oh my gosh, that was horrible. Why did she say that, right? I go in with true accolades. I want them to feel my truth, but I want them to feel that I'm genuine. I want them to feel that I appreciate them. So when I do share with them how they can support me, it's a softer blow, right? It's a softer blow because what they're going to hear more is what I said that inspired them, that encouraged them, that empowered them. And then we can have a conversation about what I'm struggling with, right? Or what I need support with. So I just wanted to share that as well. And so now, please share with our listeners how they can get in contact with you, if there's any way that they can reach out to you. And then after you do that, please give a closing remark on our topic today, the weight of your words, so that our listeners can take that piece of juiciness and use it and chew on it or walk with it, whatever they choose to do with it. So please, how can they get in contact with you? And then some closing remarks or takeaways.
Sure. So best way to reach me is probably Instagram. My handle is IEN the Korean, Ian the Korean. Or you can sign up for my email list on my website, IENCHI.com. That's where I have all my work. You can check out all the stuff I've worked on there. And there's an email list. Last juicy words. I was just talking with a friend earlier today about loving our shadow, loving the parts of us that we want to run away from and we don't like. And when we're able to look at the parts of ourselves that we think are imperfect and might be, whether it's ego or greed or what have you, when you can look at it without judging it as good or bad, I think it becomes a lot easier to look at other people without that judgment as well. So that's something I've been reflecting on recently, of that shedding that light. It has to start with what's within yourself, and then you can share that with others. You know, it's impossible to share that light with others unless you've illuminated what's within you. So that's just what I'd say.
Thank you so much for that. I truly, truly appreciate it. Ian, you are the bomb. Thank you. You're the best. I was so, and just like we said when we had a call, we just clicked, you guys. We just clicked in our conversation. And as if we knew each other for years. And so once that occurred, it was like, no, you have to come on my podcast. And again, I was just so grateful that you said yes. And so thank you again and again for saying yes and for coming on and sharing your wisdom, because that's what you shared tonight. You shared your wisdom from your perspective. And I'm quite sure there are thousands of people who you totally connect with because of who you are, and they align themselves with you. And so I'm so grateful for that. Thank you again and again and again. And I look forward to having you back on when we change our topic to another topic, right? Thank you, Ian. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. And to everyone listening, grace and peace and good vibes. And may we continue being ourselves and unfolding more of our true selves.
Absolutely. Unapologetically. That's what I'm talking about, right? Thanks again. Okay, you guys. So here's the question that I have for you. How many words will you say that you are away from totally ruining someone else's life? How many words would you say that you're away from wrecking another person's life with your words, with your tongue? Because we know it's easy. If you are not mindful that words, our words, carry weight. They carry weight and they are not equally weighted. And the source of the word determines the weight of the word, right? Now, remember that when you're speaking to someone, you have the ability to speak life into them. You have the ability to empower them. Don't waste that opportunity by degrading them or causing them to feel less than they should. Empower them. Remember, our words have weight. No ifs, ands, buts about it. They weigh. And negative words weigh way, 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 way more than positive words. So you want to use positive words and not negative words. And the source determines the weight, right? If you're a parent and you're talking to your child, ooh, that's some heavy, heavy words. So with all that being said, you guys, thank you. You know, it's easy to lose yourself in today's clashing ideas, conflicting beliefs, and the flood of information, right? That overwhelms us every day with society's rigid expectations and endless opinions. Self-expression and self-appreciation can feel challenging and daunting. Most of the time, what you're going to do, what we do is we push it away, we dumb down, we act as if, you know, nothing's happening, and we just go with the flow. But I want you to know you are you unapologetically. And that means being true to you, being true to how you were created and not allowing people's opinions affect how you show up in life, affect how you show up in the world every day. People are going to talk, so let them talk. You have no time, none whatsoever, to be intimidated by the presence of others and think little of yourself. You don't have time for that. So when you show up without pretense and hesitation, come on now, I'm just saying, the world can't dull your glamour. They can't. And most importantly, you will be inspired to shine your light so brightly that you will share it and help others to tap into their own brilliance. So let's put an end to this disparaging mindset and begin to own our authentic self. Join me here again, you guys, in a safe space where I'm going to initiate, right, influential conversation about you being you, because you are you unapologetically. No one, absolutely no one, is better at being you than you. All right. Thank you guys for being here. I really, really appreciate it and appreciate the support. Talk with you next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at kimrgrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.